So I want to read from Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 18 onwards, talks about where we are not coming and where we have come this morning. So verse 18 says, "For we are not coming, as Moses did, to a physical mountain with its burning fire, thick clouds of darkness and gloom, and with a raging whirlwind. We are not those who are being warned by the jarring blast of a trumpet and the thundering voice, the fearful voice that they begged to be silenced." Aren't you glad that that's not the voice that we are coming to this morning?
Yeah.
That is not where we are this morning. God's not here to judge us. God's not here to tell us what's wrong. But here it goes. By contrast, we have already come. Can you tell your neighbor, we have already come? We have already come near to God in a totally different realm, the Zion realm. For we have entered, see, we have entered the city of the living God. We have joined the festal gathering of myriads of angels in their joyous celebration. How many of you have experienced angels in worship? Yeah? Isn't that amazing? That's such a reassurance that we are joining them in worship. And we are the members of the church of the firstborn, and all of our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven. Okay? And we have come before God, who judges all and who lives among the spirits of the righteous who have been made perfect in His eyes. We have been made perfect by the blood of Jesus. We are made perfect in His eyes this morning. And we have come to Jesus, who establishes a new covenant with His sprinkled blood upon the mercy seat. Where does He sprinkle His blood? On the mercy seat. Okay? And the blood that He spilt on the mercy seat cries out forgiveness, which is a better word than the blood of Abel, which cries out justice. So can you just say this with me? Forgiveness is better than justice. Forgiveness is better than justice. And this is the eyes with which God looks at us this morning. And so what is our response? In verse 28 it says, "Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights His heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe." And you know, there's this little attachment that's there to this verse. It says, "For our God is a holy, devouring fire." Some other translations say He's a consuming fire. In the context of worship, God doesn't come as a refining fire. He comes as a consuming fire to consume what is already good and pleasing in His sight. Okay, so this morning as we start to worship in reverence and in awe of who God is going to come down. The fire of God is going to come down. And I just urge you not to resist it. He's here not to point out your faults. He's here to consume what is good and acceptable in His eyes. How many of you want to be set on fire this morning?
Over my soul.
so deep down in our souls that we can't contain and we can't control. We want your spirit to explode in us, God. Oh, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I don't want to. And we can't control. God is doing a deep work in our hearts. We've been feeling this for a whole week. Some of us have been living with some of these songs for a whole season. And we've had several pictures. I want to just very quickly share. And I saw this wound, leprous wound actually. And you can have a nice white bandage over it. And it gives the appearance of it being healed, but actually it's not. Because when you take the bandage off, there is rotting flesh and there are maggots deep inside that are actually continuing to eat away and destroy the body. And some of us have got leprosy on our hearts. And we've been putting a band-aid on it with, you know, God loves me, Jesus loves me. And we've never, never, never dealt with the pain. And we've never dealt with the wound. And all it's doing is continuing to eat you up inside. But God is coming with a very, very gentle surgeon's knife. Okay? And he's going to cut and 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 cut away at all that dead skin. Because anyway, that skin is dead. It has numbed your heart and you can't feel. And those layers need to be cut and cut and cut till you hit good flesh. And you go, ouch! That's when the surgeon knows he's cleaned it. Pain is good. Pain is good. And then he pours peroxide or spirit to make sure all that infection is burned away. And then he pours his balm. And then he binds it up. And then it begins to heal. But will you allow him to cut, 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 so that your heart can breathe again, and your heart can beat again, and your heart can feel again? Because right now, you're doing damage and you don't even realize, because like a leprous person, limbs get just fall off and they don't even know. They bang into things and they don't even know. They burn their hand and they don't even know. They can't feel. And so they damage themselves and can damage others. But today, it's about your heart. Will you let him cut, cut, cut? Do you trust a surgeon's knife? Oh my God, I have several times. And all those cuts have only helped me stand here today. Because if that appendix wasn't taken out, I would have died. If the cyst wasn't taken out, I would have died. I had to trust the surgeon's knife. And God's saying, will you trust my knife today? Will you trust my knife today? such love is this for me, such love, such love, but you don't know what I've done, such love is this for me. You don't know my wickedness. Such love. You don't know what I've done. Such love is this for me. This can't be forgiven. Such love. Can this be forgiven? Such love. You don't know what I've done.
Such love is this for me.
This is. You've done. This is my love for you. I know it all and it doesn't shock me. This is my love for you. That I died and I took your sin and I said it is finished.
Celebrate my creation. Last thing. God doesn't make junk. Do you believe that? God doesn't make junk.
No, no, no.
Can you see it? Everybody say, yeah. Can you see it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna celebrate, celebrate,
celebrate
my creation.
Let's remain in God's presence. God is here. He's speaking to us. Let's hold, you know, just keep standing. Just wait. You know, we want to hear what God is doing. Yeah. And as we were singing the first song this morning about how beautiful God is, beautiful one I adore, I felt the Lord say to me, you know, we are beautiful in His eyes. All right? He is beautiful, but we are in Zechariah 8 verse 2. Sorry, 2 verse 8. God speaks about us as He says, He who touches you touches the apple of my eye. Right. Psalm 139, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, and before Karen sang, I had out Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Isn't that amazing? I felt what the Lord wanted to remind us. He's enjoying our worship. But for us to realize that just as He is precious to us, we are precious to Him. And sometimes what happens is this. You know, imagine this note, 500 rupee note. If it fell into the kitchen, in the mud, into the muck, would you go and pick it up? Yes. Why? Because it is valuable, right? It may be dirty, you can wash it, you can clean it, but it has value.
Yes.
And you know, we are like that. Our value is that we've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. That's our value. Okay? It's not our good looks or the way we sing, but it's we've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. And even though we may sin, we may do things that are wrong, we are still valuable in God's sight. And the gospel is that imperfect sinners purchased by the blood of Jesus. All right? And it's a one-time justification, but it's a continual sanctification. As we come to Him, we say, yes, Lord, forgive me. I sinned. I blew it. You know, He washes us with His blood. He cleanses us. He helps us become more like Him. So let's rejoice in Him, knowing that He rejoices in us. Amen.
Luke 4:16 onwards. He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So that day, 2,000 years back, when Jesus said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," that day, the acceptable year of the Lord has started. Today, we are in the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus has sent us. So today, Jesus was speaking of Himself that day, but today it's us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, because He has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. We are to heal the brokenhearted. to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. We are to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So can we together all read the scripture from Luke 4:18, declare it for ourselves. If we all declare and get a revelation of this, we will have a breakthrough which we won't be able to contain. So just let's read it together on the screen at 1, 2, 3. Let's read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news poor. To proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down.
Today is fulfilled in your hearing.
Thank you.
And mercy triumphs over judgment, 'cause you delight in showing mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You delight in showing mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment.
Are there people here this morning where things are just not happening? You're trying to overcome it, but there's something that's stuck. And sometimes it's just a little tweak of that frequency in your mind. Just your thinking. Just that little one little turn of that button. It says in 2 Corinthians, it tells us that real battles of conflict have to do with our thinking. It says we are to cast down the strongholds in our minds. You know, when we consistently think wrong, each time we put a brick in the wall, each thought one brick, and we give Satan that ability to build that castle around that area in our lives. My friends, our mind is a great place. Every time we think wrong, every time we allow the enemy to build with bricks of fear, bricks of hopelessness, bricks of rejection, bricks of disappointment, bricks of lust, bricks of disobedience, bricks of anger, we are not controlling our thoughts. We are building brick by brick by brick strongholds in our minds. And we give Satan that authority in those areas. And then we complain to God and ask Him why. We're building it ourselves. But it is said that we are to cast down the strongholds of our minds. Brick by brick, cast them down right now where you are. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you the bricks in your minds. Cast them down one by one. And it is said to them, when the enemy comes to attack you, that you put on that helmet of salvation. And what is that all about? It's about our thinking. Think saved, my friends. Think saved. We are saved. Think saved. The enemy cannot have my family. Think saved. The enemy cannot have my business. The enemy cannot have my children. The enemy cannot have my future. The enemy cannot have my health. Do not give him that authority. Because God has saved you. He is the victorious one, and we have that victory in Him today. Amen. Amen.
Hopeless have found their hope. The orphan now have a home. All that was lost has found its place in you. You lift our
your cup jar at the feet of Jesus, okay? Been forgiven much, loves much. How much do you love Jesus? I'm sure you love him a lot. Okay? This is a good time to express your love and affection to the King of Kings who loves you so deeply.
Your love, I am pouring out my love. pour out your love. I am pouring out my love on those wounds, on those wounds. I feel God speaking about us being honest, about us being vulnerable. He's calling us to be honest and vulnerable right now, because He is here, very much here. He is here. I am here, I am here to pour out my love on those wounds, on those wounds, on those wounds, to bring out healing, to bring out healing from deep within, from deep within, so deep within. I'm pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out my love, pouring out my love, pouring out.
heart beginning to beat. It's coming to life by His Spirit.
Thank you.
We will overcome by the testimony of his word and by the blood of the lamb. Can we say that? We will overcome by the testimony of his word and the blood of the lamb that was shed once and for all to give you and to give me freedom. What? Freedom from those shackles that have been held us down for so long. He's come to set us free. Amen. Amen.
Now just before we end, I'm just going to read this verse. How many of you guys have the YouVersion Bible app? Open it and see the verse of the day. I just checked it and I was like, whoa. Okay, just open it and look at the verse of the day. It says from Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. And the entire theme of our worship this Sunday was around this. And even in Sunday school. Okay, amazing.